I'm really excited about tonight's session, in part because there's a few things that I get kind of jazzed about talking about, and this happens to be one of them. I love the fact that over the past several years, there has been a renewed interest in the fact that believers are in union with Christ. I love the fact that that has become an emphasis in the counseling room, and that more and more counselors, as they're opening up the scriptures with their counselees, are encouraging them to see their identity, first of all, in Jesus Christ. And so passages like Romans 8, 31 to 39, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, Romans 6, 7, and 8, are receiving more attention in the counseling world than ever before. And what I would like to just ask you is, how has that emphasis helped you in your counseling? How has that helped you? Okay, so if they don't understand how they are related and in union with Christ, and they don't really understand how they can live life in relationship to Christ. All right, well, let me just give you a few things for me. I know that I do a lot better job of pointing my counselees to their relationship with Christ now. And I think here's one of the tendencies of new counselors. New counselors receive an intake form, and on it says, hey, we're having conflict in our marriage, or hey, I'm not getting along with my teenager very well, or hey, I'm having this struggle with anxiety. And so what we then do is say, I know, I heard some lecture notes on that before, and so I'm going to pull back my lecture notes from a prior session, and I'm going to go through them, and I'm going to talk to them about them, and I'm like, yes, I have answers to anxiety. Yes, I have answers to the marriage conflict. Yes, I am so stoked, because I know what to say. And there's obviously a lot of benefit to that. But one of the things that we have to just acknowledge is if there is not a commitment on that person to walk closely with the Lord from that day forward, then the truth is we really haven't gotten biblical counseling done yet. Yeah, we did give some help. Yeah, we did get some encouragement. Yeah, we may have had a series of Bible verses that we smattered along the way, but the truth is that that person is not really more like Christ yet. And so I know for me that one of the things that's helped me is I talk more about their relationship with Jesus than maybe I did before. I think understanding their identity also helped me relate to people's suffering a little bit better. You know, sometimes when people suffer and they tell you a story about the things that they've experienced, and you're just kind of like, whoa, man, I haven't had that. I didn't experience that. And so you almost get a little bit gun-shy about what to say because you don't want to offend a person who is suffering. And sometimes you just kind of, well, I'll accept whatever they tell me. Or on the other hand, you fall in the other ditch and you say, well, forget that. I don't really care about their suffering because I don't know what to say about it anyway. And so I'm just going to talk to them about their sin issues and I'll be good to go. Where I think understanding our identity of Christ really helps us talk to them about their suffering and God's help in the midst of that suffering. I think I also do, and I hope you do as well, a better job of guarding your own heart. Guarding your own heart against potential idolatries of various sorts that are going to capture the time and attention of your heart. And so understanding who you are in Christ helps you in at least all of those fronts. And I'm certainly thankful for all of those things that have improved and made my counseling more Christ-centered. But I'm also weary of Warren Wiersbe's statement, who once wrote, "Balance is what I pass on my way to another extreme." In other words, what I do is I'm over here, and then I realize that I have some issues with being over here, and so I decide that being over here isn't very good anymore, and so I run all the way over here, and balance is that point that I passed on my way over to this side. And then I get really excited about this, and then what do? I realize this is not quite so good, so I start running all over here. And one of the things that I hope this session is going to do is to help us think about a perspective that I think we also need in our counseling. I'm assuming you've done some counseling now. In other words, it's not just, okay, I got more content. The truth of the matter is a person does not improve their counseling skill from simply content. They get better by counseling. And then when they get additional content, it means a whole lot more because now they have counseling failure. They have counseling success. They have counseling struggle that is behind them, that is encouraging them to be much more attentive with what they hear. So I'm assuming that you are all in that position. And one of the things that I want to, I guess, provide a little bit of balance to is I not only want my counselee to understand my identity or their identity in Christ, but I want them to understand the identity of Christ. Does that distinction make sense? I want them not only to understand their identity in Christ, I want them to understand the identity of Christ. In other words, I want them to worship Christ for who He is. And I believe that developing a genuine love for the Lord is in part created by a genuine knowledge of who He is and what He has done. And so the more passionate I am and the more knowledgeable I am about who Christ is and what He has done, the more inclined I am to love Him and care for Him. Think about it this way. For those of you who are married now, there was a time in your life when you met your spouse, except they weren't your spouse yet. And you began to cultivate a relationship with them. And the more you cultivated that relationship, the more you enjoyed it. And so you got to the place where you said, you know what, maybe we ought to just live the rest of our lives together. And then you each agreed to that because you saw the value in it as you got to know one another and as you got to experience the blessing of being with one another. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that that is also true for our counselees. And so there's a lot of ways I could have organized this particular material, but what I've decided to do is I've decided to share what I think is the unique contribution of each gospel to the identity of Christ. Each gospel, we have four of them. Each gospel was written for a purpose. Each gospel was written from a perspective in order to help us understand more about Christ. And so what is it that Matthew contributes? What is it that Mark contributes or Luke or John contributes? And how does that help us inform our counseling? Well, before I get to the details of that, let me just suggest to you that all four gospels spend their time and attention talking about Christ. About Christ. That may sound very obvious, may sound very simplistic, but I think over and over again, people sometimes read the Bible asking the question, well, what's in this for me? And here's really how Mark and Matthew and Luke and John wrote. They wrote to talk about Jesus. They wrote to explain who Christ was, what He has done. All gospel writers are also very selective in what they include. In fact, some New Testament scholars would argue that if you combined everything that Matthew says, everything that Mark says, everything that Luke says, and everything that John says, then the sum total that you get is 50 days of Jesus' life. And some put that number as low as 30. In other words, the sum total of the material that we have found in the gospels only covers 30 to 50 days of Jesus' actual life. And not only that, but 25% of the material that is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John discusses 1 week. That is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem until His resurrection. John also makes the point in John chapter 20, verse 30, it says, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, they were intentionally selective. They chose the material that they chose because there was a purpose that they wanted to give. So all four Gospels are actually written with a purpose in mind. And while they're closely related, they are slightly different. So let's begin to think for a few minutes about how does each gospel contribute to the identity of Christ, and then what is the practical counseling value of knowing that? Here's the first one. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King, just as Scripture promised. This is the book of Matthew. Of the four gospels, Matthew is the most concerned, not to say he is the only one who's concerned, but he is the most concerned that the promises of the Old Testament concerning the coming King were perfectly wrapped up in the personhood of Christ. Outside of Hebrews, Matthew quotes and references the Old Testament probably more than any other New Testament book. In fact, let's just think for a quick minute how Matthew begins his book. The very first line is the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, he loads in this very first sentence some important theological truth about the person of Christ. First of all, that he is royalty, that Jesus is royalty. He is the